Chapter 10
"Shay," I breathed, as I crowded my maddening phoenix wife against the wall next to one of those big potted trees. She looked up at me with her emerald green eyes filled with passion and fire, and her hand flew up to clutch the hair at the back of my head while she hiked a leg up and hooked it around my hip.
"I feel like I can't get enough of you,"
she admitted with a tremble in her sultry voice. "I feel the same way," I said, while I let my broad palms run up her waist, then down to cup her shapely bottom. "Do you think it'll always be like this?"
I don't know, goddess, but the one thing I do know is I need you urgently,"
she said as she frantically fumbled with the laces at the front of my trousers. In that moment, I needed to be as close as possible to her as I could. And between two pairs of shaking hands, she freed my aching erection while I rucked up her flowing cloud-blue gown and then lifted her so she was perched on the lip of the large ceramic pot. "Oh, baby," I breathed, as the head of my cock breached the entrance of her tight pussy. I pulled her the rest of the way onto me until we were flush, and I groaned at the feeling of her tunnel fluttering around my shaft. Shay moaned as she got used to the feeling of taking me to the hilt all in one go.
Alex, oh, you're so... Oh.
She hissed as I ground into her some, and I gently reclined her so she could wrap her hands around the medium-sized trunk of the potted tree behind her. "Hold on," I whispered, and then I slipped one hand under her lower back while my other pressed down on her belly the next time I thrust in.
Ooh.
Shay wrapped both hands around the back of the trunk and flexed her hips.
Husband, I feel like I'm burning up, but please.
"Fuck," I said, and I couldn't help but jerk my hips forward ever so slightly. To see her beg like that as she was pinned on my cock was so hot, and the lust in my veins caused my heart to pound while sweat broke out on my brow. "You're amazing, Shay. So good." I pulled out nearly all the way and then slammed home again.
"Mercedes!"
my phoenix wife cried out and arched her back, and I yanked her bodice down so one of her luscious breasts was exposed and already puckering from the arousal she felt. Then, with my calloused thumb, I swiped rapidly across the peak of her rosy nipple. She whimpered. "That's it. Oh, God!" I nearly choked out. "You're getting tighter, babe. You're so fucking tight around my cock."
"Oh, yes."
Shay gasped and writhed as her fingernails clawed at the bark of the tree, and my eyes nearly rolled to the back of my head when she encouraged a shallow rocking motion between us that kept me right on the knife's edge of coming. Words at this point were beyond the two of us, which was just fine, because our bodies communicated in harmony as if it was as natural as breathing, and I set about making her gasp again and again. My hips moved seemingly on their own, and I gripped her tender hips between my hands as I fucked into her faster and faster.
"Harder!"
she practically screamed, and the fury in my blood ignited every fiber of my being, until even the roots of my hair felt overwhelmed with pleasure.
"I'm... Oh, yes! I'm there!"
"Shit!" I hissed, as her pussy walls clamped and clenched around my shaft, and the suddenness of her climax ripped me off the precarious edge of my own orgasm. The need to bury myself into her as deep as possible overwhelmed me, and I pulled her up against my chest as I continued to pump rope after rope of hot cum into her clutching pussy.
"Oh! Oh! Oh!"
Shay squealed as she worked her hips against me, and she carved her nails into my back as she spasmed in tandem with my shallow jerks. "Fuck, Shay!" I groaned as I filled her to the brim with my seed. Our shared orgasm seemed endless in that moment, and when we finally came down, I was sure to keep supporting the wrung-out phoenix woman as she sagged heavily against me. We breathed against each other for a few moments, but after a while I noticed I wasn't softening inside her despite the fact I came harder and faster than I'd ever remembered doing since my early adolescence. In fact, the minute twitches and movements Shay was involuntarily making were actually ratcheting up my arousal again, and I couldn't help but devour her mouth when she looked questioningly up at me. Her emerald green eyes flew wide when I rolled our bodies together, and she broke the heated kiss with a sob.
Alex!
She moaned.
I need you again, love. Oh!
Is it supposed to feel this intense? I grunted, as I started moving my hips again in slow thrusts.
I don't know!
Shay inhaled sharply and arched her back when I changed the angle slightly just to see her toes curl. When the tremors in her body subsided, she looked me dead in the eye.
I want you. From behind. Fucking me.
I stopped dead for a beat, and my vision nearly whited out with lust at hearing the word fuck fall from her petal lips. Where? I croaked, and looked around frantically for a place that was more comfortable than this ceramic planter pot.
Over there,
she gestured, and I followed her thin finger to a stack of plush rugs. They look a little dusty, I commented.
Not that dusty. Come on,
she groaned, and then she swiveled her hips in a way that made me have to grab her to keep from moving. Okay, patience, I huffed, and I scooped her into my arms while we were still joined. Oh, fuck. The angle and tightness of the position changed for the both of us, and I couldn't help but bounce her up and down a few times on my cock completely standing.
I can't! Oh, goddess!
She gasped, and I held her still as she trembled through her second orgasm. When the aftershock subsided, her legs couldn't stop trembling, but she was still undulating like a cat in heat.
Please! I can't wait anymore!
That was all I needed as far as I was concerned, so I marched us over to the stack of dusty rugs, pulled out as carefully as I could, and then set her down. Shay immediately flipped over on her hands and knees, rucked up her gown again, and arched her narrow back so her perfect ass was on display and waiting for me to mount. Then, with one sultry hand, she reached between her legs and pulled open her pussy lips. My cock was even harder than it was before, and my balls were drawn high and tight against my body when I spied a trickle of my cream pour out between her petals and drip down her inner thigh. Fuck, look at you, I growled, and I didn't waste any more time before I thrust it back into her scorching hot chamber. The two of us fucked like animals after that, and it was the single most passionate and raw lovemaking session of my young life thus far. Maybe it was this new soul bond thing we had going on, but every drag, squeeze, and clench was magnified tenfold, and all of my senses were completely subsumed by every square inch of her. We both climaxed again for the last time, and it was nothing short of transcendent. I ended up hugging her to me, so she was fully plastered to my front, and our orgasm seemed to fall into a feedback loop of each other's pleasure. When the tempest of our lovemaking was finally over, we held each other in the silence of the beautiful jewel house, and that festering ache inside my heart I'd been feeling since this morning was gone. Bless you, I said when Shay sneezed a little while later, and I laughed when her pert little nose scrunched in a way that always drove me crazy. I thought you said the rugs weren't that dusty.
Don't blame a girl for wanting to get to the main event,
she murmured as she traced patterns on my chest.
How was your time with Mech? Horace filled me in about those two boys. I'm not surprised you saved them, and they should count themselves as lucky.
Don't worry, Mech. Put them in their place, I chuckled, as I tickled the crest of her bare shoulder. There are a lot of things I need to talk to you and Zoe about, though.
Our brigade is on their way as we speak,
Shay sighed.
I've asked the servants to prepare the gardens. I thought we could all have a dinner party while the days are still warm.
You did? I asked. Are you sure you have the energy for a dinner party? She hummed and dozily blinked up at me.
We should get up and check to see if the party committee has arrived.
Seriously, though, I said as I caressed her flushed cheek. Are you sure you want to do the ball? I know we're obligated, but there's nothing that says we really have to.
I feel like I want to,
she said, and she flashed me a soft, sweet smile.
I used to host all kinds of events when I was married to Bala. Planning for this ball makes me feel normal. And these days, normal is a relief.
Okay, sweetheart, I said, and kissed her on the forehead. Let's go.
Come to the fountain with me.
She led me to the marble plaza-like fountain, and it was filled with clean water despite the fact the water feature element was turned off. After we set ourselves back to rights and helped each other look presentable, the two of us made it back to the front of the jewel house where, sure enough, two women who were ostensibly the party planning committee were waiting out front. They currently had their backs to us as they chattered a mile a minute about the gardens and the potential the glass structure had to put on the party of the ages.
Don't you think that would be an excellent space for a bonfire, Trey?
The woman with a burnt orange crest of long spiky feathers like a bird of paradise asked her companion.
Oh, I agree, Zen,
the second woman said. And she turned to the side so I could see how her lower jaw was colored just like the striped bill of a toucan.
And along the trees here we can hang strings of beaded glowstones. Oh, Mercedes, be not these two.
Shay grumbled under her breath before she turned up the charm and made her presence known.
Hello, ladies. Shaylia, darling,
Zin said as she preened her spiky feathers.
So good to see you. We heard you have been feeling poorly, love.
The toucan woman, Trey, added as she leaned in and kissed my wife on her cheek.
Nothing a stout native woman can't overcome,
Shay replied, and she finished greeting her socialite friends with more European-like air kisses.
And, of course, you know my husband, Asher Brightwood.
Ladies, I said with a small bow, thank you for all your help. The two bird women blinked at me and then at each other before they both broke out into simpers and squeals.
Oh, Shay!
Zin said as she gripped the phoenix woman's hands.
He's so much more handsome in person. Now come, let's envision our masterpiece. We'll be back, husband,
Shay said, and led the two busybody women inside so they could get started on their plans for world domination with origami serviettes or something. The good thing was I didn't have to sit and twiddle my thumbs for long, because shortly after Shay and the party brigade disappeared back into the jewel house, I spotted a caravan of three small estate carriages headed my way. A grin stretched across my face when I saw a familiar mop of sandy hair steering one of the carriages, which told me our crew was finally here and ready to set up what Shay described as a dinner party, but to me just sounded like a summer barbecue. How domestic. Who'd have thought I would actually be standing in some beautiful alien world in the midst of more friends and family than I knew what to do with, setting up a picnic? Even more, who'd have thought that me, Alex Brightwood, master's degree in cynicism and isolation, could actually be happy, could thrive? My smile faded when I was reminded of my vision of the black doors and how I chose without hesitation the door that would keep me here. But now I was faced with a new door in my visions, and I wondered what Aventol was trying to tell me, especially now that it seemed I was fated to come here according to the enigmatic Oryx woman, and the idea that I was always meant to be here was a concept so large and overwhelming I found my thoughts shying away from it all. Maybe that was a good thing for now. In the meantime, I jogged down the steps in front of the jewel house and greeted everyone who was there to help set up for this shindig.
Master Alex!
Nevra, the badger woman, said as she hopped out of the first carriage Rylan was steering. Just Alex, Nevs, I reminded her, and then kissed the back of her black and white striped hand.
Oh, you are dear!
She giggled and patted my knee.
Help us with the tent, why don't you?
Yes, ma'am, I said, as I gave Rylan a hand from the top of the wagon.
Hi, Dad,
he said, and rummaged in his pocket.
I'll fix this for you.
Already? I asked, as I took the canterfly pendant from him and admired the handiwork. He had attached a sturdier metal loop, and I didn't hesitate to slip it back on the leather cord that my doula stone hung on. The way the pendant clinked woodenly against the clear quartz of the stone felt right, and even though the carving weighed hardly anything, I'd missed its weight around my neck.
So we really are going to do the bowl?
He asked. Yep, I said, as I glanced at the entrance of the jewel house, only to see Shay arm in arm with the two exotic bird women, as if she was a hostage to the social mores of the elite. Looks like Shay's done going over the reconstruction.
Does it look like she needs rescuing?
Zoe asked as she linked up next to us and observed how poor Shay had to keep her head on a swivel as each woman jockeyed for her attention. I turned to Zoe and saw how her pupils were dilated and her tail swished back and forth, which reminded me of a cat watching a pair of parakeets. Will you be doing the rescuing? I asked.
Oh, yes,
she purred. Go, I laughed. Get our girl. Zoe grinned and silence stalked her way like her subspecies implied, and from afar, Rylan and I watched how the catwoman merely had to stand in front of the women with her arms crossed stoically over her chest before the busybodies finally unstuck themselves from Shay's sides.
Whoa!
Rylan said, as the two women chattered nervously and then awkwardly waved while Zoe dragged the phoenix woman away.
Mom is scary.
Don't you forget it, I snickered.
And then the Duke said, but I thought he was on the menu.
A jovial voice boomed from the last carriage, and I turned to see Ambassador Siskern regaling Horace and the Mech sisters with some morbidly amusing story.
You are truly an excellent storyteller, Mr. Siskern,
Amaya said in her dreamy voice. Ambassador, I greeted and held out my hand.
Brightwood,
the lizard man said and clasped my forearm.
It is good to see you.
Likewise, I grinned. I'm surprised you're up on your feet again. Last time I saw you, you were pretty out of it.
Yes, I'm afraid I was interrupted in the middle of my healing trance, and my mind was not together, he said. I regret you saw me as such.
I, for one, regret nothing about any of that, Horace muttered under his breath.
You found my delirium entertaining,
the lizard man said more than asked, and Horace's eyes went large as he immediately tried to backpedal.
I wasn't implying that... what I meant, he stammered.
The ambassador made the Falcon Man squirm for a minute longer until he couldn't help it anymore and opened his big mouth in a loud laugh.
Relax, lad. I'm only teasing,
Siskern said, and thumped the Falcon Man on the back with a large hand.
You should have seen the time I woke my uncle out of the trance. He got it into his head that he had wings and could fly, so he jumped off the roof and broke his legs for the trouble.
Oh, that's terrible, Horace said with a grim expression.
Yes, it really was. But at the same time it was funny as all dark hell,
Siskern replied, and then laughed another cackling laugh.
Come, let us get to work before the rest of our guests come. Please, put me to work.
If you want to be helpful, Ambassador, we need all hands on deck to raise this tent,
Nevra interjected from her position on the larger lawn, and behind her were a bevy of servants organizing the poles and ropes of the tent and waiting for further instructions. Who else is on their way? I asked.
Lady Shay has a caravan coming with the injured Gate Etonians,
Ryland said.
She thought it would be good to raise their spirits.
Well then, I said as I rubbed my hands together, let's get this picnic started. It was good to just use my hands and forget all of the nebulous details still floating around and plaguing me with the unknown, and I let my mind go blank under the lull of physical labor. In no time, all of us were able to not only raise the large canvas tent half the length of a football field, but with the help of Arvid, we managed to get a decent fire pit built while most of the women decorated the entertaining space inside with plush rugs, squat round tables, and plenty of those luxurious floor pillows that seemed common for these things. Shay, Zoe, and I all decided the best course of action would be to settle and serve the injured Gatetonians first in honor of their willingness to fight back against Vayne's tyranny. Eventually, we were able to relax on our own rug with a platter of roasted meat expertly cooked by Arvid, candied nuts, dried fruits, and salty cheeses. There were even baskets of fresh breads, and Velralla took it upon herself to make sure all tables had an endless supply of the rolls as well as Verna berry wine and woot brandy. But after last night, I decided to just stick with the milder wine. This was an excellent idea, I said to Shay, as I reclined back against Zoe like a lazy dog with a full belly.
I agree,
Zoe purred as she threaded her fingers through my hair.
The winds are changing, and soon the warm days will be gone. The brave people of Gatetown need this morale boost more than ever.
I just wanted to do something for them,
Shay sighed, and I pulled her down so her head was resting in my lap to complete our cuddle chain.
And for our Alex.
I opened my eyes because I could feel two pairs of jeweled gazes on me.
He has been preoccupied as of late,
Zoe agreed and nudged me. Is it that obvious? I sighed. But I gathered my thoughts because I knew the time had come to talk with them about my revelations with Gavlane. Then I sat up, took a breath, and told them all about the prophecy I was apparently involved in. And Amaya is the prophetess, but Gavlane thinks her fate is doomed if she falls into a life of servitude for the Order, I concluded. And based on what I know about her, I would have to agree.
She didn't touch either of us for very long, but it is clear a soul as free as hers would suffer greatly if she is who you say she is,
Shay sighed.
I, too, get that impression when I remember how Amaya's knowledge filtered through.
Zoe added, and then she cupped my face so I would stop staring into space and look at her.
What are you thinking, my love?
I know you know I have strong feelings for her, I said, and my two wives both nodded. I've been thinking that when, not if, when we free her, I'd like her to join us.
All together?
Zoe asked as she cocked her ebony head. Yeah, I nodded. I know you both said I'm free to take a lover, but I want to make sure you want her too.
You do not have to worry,
my phoenix wife said, and gestured to the dancing taking place on the lawn outside the tent.
It's quite impossible to not be drawn into a spell.
Amaya was clapping her hands to the beat as she spun in pretty circles that made her long scarlet dress bell out around her like a flower. And I was enchanted all over again by the way her lithe body moved effortlessly to the music. Yeah, I trailed off, and then frowned when I spied a familiar pair of fluffy gray ears rushing into the tent.
Mr. Alex, Jenner panted when he came up to our table. I discovered something in Geller's notes about how he had suspicions Arcus Dola stole plans for one of his greatest inventions. When I was talking with Nevra, she mentioned how Bala Ren used a special vault to keep things for Arcus, because he was a paranoid bastard.
What do you think it is? I asked.
I'm not sure, he said, as his ears trembled with excitement. But if it is what I think it is, the ambassador will want to come with us.
Let's go, I said, and scrambled up from the cushions. I took a few steps before I realized something and doubled back so I could kiss each of my wives on the top of their heads. Thank you, both.